Pastors face a wide variety of challenges that can sidetrack them from a clear call to ministry. In this episode of Hope Renewed, we talk with Pastor Zach Eswine about the challenges ministry leaders deal with on a daily basis. Welcome to Hope Renewed, the podcast of PIR Ministries. Thanks for joining me for Hope Renewed. I'm Tom Jameson, and this is the in-depth podcast about pastoral renewal and restoration. It's where we explore the issues and situations that can put pastors at risk and share hope when ministry leaves us hopeless. We're happy to present a conversation I recently shared with Dr. Zach Eswine. Among many things, Zach is a pastor, teacher, speaker, author, blogger, and mentor, husband, and most recently, a new dad. He also is a new member of the board for PIR Ministries. We talked with him about that and the subtle dangers pastors are susceptible to in the first part of our conversation. We're excited that you've decided to join in partnership with PIR by coming onto the board of directors and being a part of just what God's doing in this little part of the kingdom. And I just wondered if you might share a little bit of what got you interested or attracted to PIR, or what excites you about the ministry of PIR and your role on the board of directors.
That's such a good question. I initially, just Roy and Deb, who they are, their story, their own personal story, testimony of God's grace in their life, and then the wisdom that's come out of the very deep and dark places that they've known as leaders in ministry, and how that's been used by the Lord now to offer presence and wisdom to other pastors. I was just struck by that. I learned from them. And then as I learned about the ministry itself, just how that presence and wisdom, empathy, a non-trite way of speaking into a pastor's life, that's not so common. You know, we're helped by the regular materials that we pastors get, especially on an Easter week like this, 5 ways to do that, 7 things to do to strengthen this, and, you know, all that can be really helpful, but we need safe places and safe people and safe times, as Leighton Ford said, so we can go the long haul. And I think PIR is a part of providing that kind of place, those kind of people, that kind of time, so that pastors can bear fruit and thrive over the long haul. And those who've come into contact with feeling like they don't have any more future in ministry, their ability to thrive is gone. And where can such a pastor go? And I came to see that PIR is a safe, knowledgeable place for a pastor and his family to turn to. So all those things together has warmed my heart to the ministry.
Well, that's exciting to hear, and I know from our perspective, just seeing your background, your experience, the way in which God has ministered hope to your heart is a real boon to what we see God doing at PIR. As you come on the board, this might be more of a technical question, I don't know. What is your hope to see? How might you desire to see PIR grow and move forward in this specific area of ministry?
Well, I think continuing in the same direction that it's going, and that is, initially or foundationally, PIR is a place for exited pastors, a place for pastors who find themselves cut short in the calling that they had hoped for. And what a marvelous place PIR is for that family and that pastor, being able to place them in a host church, being able to offer resources to help that pastor and his family reevaluate who they are, get in touch again with their calling, and to learn from the Lord what their future might be. I think just to continue in that way, I think out of that knowledge, there also comes the ability to do preventative work. The knowledge gleaned then continues to transfer into the preventative side of coaching and mentoring and teaching and embodying things to out of the knowledge learned. And I think continuing to go in those two directions seems really helpful and meaningful and strategic for pastors.
You know, it's very affirming, I think, to hear you resonate with that part of the mission, which really is core to the ministry. And I know as a former pastor, to know how vital that is to have a place like that. I think one of the things we hear so often from pastors is, oh, I wish you had been here 10 years ago. I wish I knew about you 20 years ago. Because it seems like every pastor runs into those times. Is that something you find?
Yeah, that's right. The late Eugene Peterson used to say something like, it's difficult to be a Christian as a pastor in America. And he was trying to get at the challenges, the unique, every global culture, every global pastor has challenges, and there are unique ones in the American churches, and all of us are going to encounter those, and we need help.
Paul David Tripp wrote the book, Dangerous Call. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate with you as you think about pastors in ministry, especially in the American church, that pastoral ministry can be a dangerous call?
Yes. Yeah, certainly can. Folks, if we were missionaries to the East, you know, we would readily recognize aspects of syncretism, you know, aspects in Eastern cultures in which they've merged their own culture with the things of Jesus, and they've created this sort of hybrid, and they're worshiping Jesus, but it's really the Jesus of their own cultural making. We have a much harder time realizing that the West does that too, mm-hmm. and that we are a part of the world, as the Bible says it. We're in the world, mm-hmm. and those worldly elements that seek to fashion God or Jesus in their own image is a part of the daily ocean we swim in too. Mm-hmm. And so untangling that can be really difficult. And some of those narratives that we buy into from the West is upward mobility, consumer preference, immediate gratification, numeric quantity equals blessing. Yeah. Those and other, don't let them see you sweat. You have to be extraordinary. Why be ordinary? Those messages are constantly coming at us. And then I add in there a celebrity mindset in which you are asked to do a large thing famously as fast as you can. And mm-hmm. that is what will make you successful. All of those kinds of things get put into God language and Jesus language. And when that happens, any Christian, but particularly those of us trying to lead, now we are in a situation in which we're using narratives, a mental maps that aren't gospel mental maps. We're using non-gospel mental maps to try to bring the gospel to people, and our own souls burn out there, and so do others. And so you've seen it again and again. At least I know you will have in your ministry there, and the ministry I've been a part of, that again and again, churches who, for all intents and purposes, everyone on the outside looking in, think, oh, I wish I could be like them. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a matter of time, and you realize everything that was internal but hidden comes to the light. And the large, famous, fast, fix everything, know everything, do everything in the name of God mindset, it can't be sustained. And so we need a lot of help in these areas.
Yeah, I guess that would be my question. How do you counter that? I mean, the lie is so subtle, and it's becoming so ingrained, as you said, in our mindset, even within the church. How do you counter that? How do you protect yourself from that?
First, we just have to try to start naming these things together. I mean, in the first place, someone has to come to believe that doing something large, famous, and fast is actually misguided. And we have a lot of work to do right there. It is true that God can do and has done a large, famous thing fast, like Pentecost. But when thousands of people came to know the Lord. But, you know, that never happened to Peter again.